Hey, Dr. Randy here, live in our Intentional Living Center studios today, along with Andrew and Amy. Thank you guys for helping out. Steven's home getting some recovery time from surgery. Praying for him. He's doing fine. He'll be back pretty soon. But today, I want to just start by saying, Liz, if you're married, you've been married for more than a minute, you know that a good marriage, a solid marriage, a growing marriage just doesn't happen. But it can. It can happen. And maybe you're not experiencing that right now. In fact, growing faith doesn't just happen. Growing peace in your life doesn't just happen. Growing freedom doesn't happen. And so today we're intentional living, and we're going to help you in the next 28 minutes discover one thing that you can start to do to move toward a stronger marriage. And it doesn't really matter what's going on. You're thinking, well, that's great, but my spouse is the problem, not me. The fact is, you can do something, and we're going to show you some things you can do here in these next 28 minutes. You know, I mentioned that a growing faith doesn't just happen. And unfortunately, I think far too many of us and far too many in the Christian community, we practice a very passive type of faith. We say we believe in Jesus. We believe that he died for us, maybe even given our life to him. But we're passive as far as applying that to how we actually choose to live. It's more of an occasional faith. We do it when things are tough or when things are difficult. It's a good intentioned faith. And we want to talk about having not only an intentional faith, but applying that to your marriage. You can have a good marriage. You really can. By the way, I'm going to open the phone lines. I want you to help out with, I need your help today. Call and share with me, we're live here in the studio, one thing that you've been doing in your marriage intentionally to grow that relationship. And you may be facing some difficult things, but there's one thing that you've been doing in your own life, because that's the only control you have. You don't control your spouse or your kids, or your neighbor, and even your dog sometimes, right? But we do control what we say, how we live, what we decide to do, our attitude. What's something you're doing in your marriage that's making a difference? Help others. Come and join me. I need your help. 888-888-1717. Amy's taking your calls today, and she'll help you out, get you lined up here so we can talk. 888-888-1717. It's about the power of doing one thing. You know, if you're a believer, you know what the Bible says. John 3:16. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But that even requires belief. We're not just born. I hear the stories of people, I'm just born into a Christian family. Ain't enough. Belief is required. If you're seeking God's will, it doesn't just happen by sitting in the corner and hoping it does. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. There's an if then there. If you do this, these things will happen. That's true for anxiety and worry. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, which is a really big deal, make your request known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Many of us are seeking peace, but not following God's intentional formula. He's a good daddy. And if you were fortunate enough to grow up in a home with a good daddy, you know, good daddies sometimes say, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to be good for you. It's going to help you. It's going to be positive for you. Brush your teeth, eat your meal, obey your mom, do your homework, because he loves you. And God loves you. He cares for you. And he says to us, I believe, I see it in Scripture, and I've seen it in my work with marriages over the years. You want to have a good marriage, love's got to be there. Submission to one another needs to be there. Forgiving one another, being patient, and shared goals. These are all biggies as far as making a marriage work. And you can do it. Now, here's the deal. My guess is you have within your circle of concern a lot of stuff that you're concerned about with your marriage. But here's the question. Within your little circle, within that bigger circle, that little tiny circle of control that you have, not from concern, but from control, what one thing can you do and been doing that's making a difference in your marriage? Love to have you join in and be a part of the show. Let's go. Ron, you're first. I think I talked to Ron, had a chance to hear his story. I think it'll encourage you, remind you that no matter where you are, getting started today can break the cycle. Ron, welcome.
7 years ago, I asked my wife for the divorce. Wasn't working. But about 6 years ago, I started listening to your program, and I have followed a lot of the things you have suggested to try, such as I've gone to my wife and says, what is one thing that I can change to make our marriage better? I do that about every 2 months, 3 months, try to find something new. It started, well, I don't know anything. Then I've also gone in and says, what is one thing that shows you I love you that I do? And our marriage, we've celebrated 24 years in September. We're as happy as we've ever been. She has changed. She is trying hard, you know, and it's wonderful. And I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. You've done the work, though, Ron. I mean, what you've done.
I understand.
What you said is, hey, one thing. What happens is, I think what happens to men is we get inundated with all of the books on marriage and all the things we're supposed to do, and there's 29 things, and we end up doing nothing because we get overwhelmed. And you've said, hey, what's one thing I could do? And she told you, and you do it, and you do it because you love her. And I'll tell you, that's mileage in your relationship because she knows you're doing it because you love her. And it makes a difference. Sounds like it's been a difference maker in your marriage.
Oh, it has. You know, and I'm not perfect at changing it, but she sees that I'm trying, and she sees that I understand that that's an issue for her. You know, so it shows me that I care about her, and it's just not about me in this marriage. It's about both of us.
That's right. And listen, thank you, Ron. You're talking about the power of one thing. And the question is, what one thing can you do? You can start today to break that inertia, that stuckness, that pain in your little circle of control. It's a little tiny circle that you have in that marriage in which you live, right? And every time you try to bust out of it to control your spouse or whatever, you find you get the pushback because that isn't the way it works. The question is, what do you do? And I just gave you a couple powerful scriptures. Read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Read Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And as examples, of course, the book of Ephesians talks about kind of the rules and relationship that go on in marriage. Powerful stuff, and doing it intentionally. All right, let's get to the calls. You can join me. One thing you're doing in your marriage that's helped you grow, helped you personally, 888-888-1717. And Lauren, you up first in Michigan today. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Doing well today. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Tell me, how long you been married? What have you learned along the way here?
So we've been married it's been 12 years. So in April, it was 12 years. And we have two girls, fifth grade, sixth grade. So, you know, we had kids right back to back, right as soon as we got married. And we learned a lot along the way, I feel like, the difficult way. But what I'm learning now is that for me in this season, just learning to really die to self and putting my husband's needs and emotions above my own, and really just looking at like getting my fullness from Jesus. And when my husband seems to like, you know, if he hurts my feelings or whatever, trying not to get offended or bring up past hurts, just like really trying to lean in forgiveness. So those are just the applicable ways that I'm learning to die to self.
You know, Lauren, some are listening thinking, well, Lauren's just being a doormat and not really living in reality, dealing with what may needs to be fixed maybe in the marriage. How do you respond to that?
I would say the same, that's how I used to think. And a lot of where my tension and fighting back would come in, that desire to not be a doormat. But if we really look at what the Bible says and what the Lord has said to me multiple times, that if we're quiet, that he'll fight for us. If we're like battling it out with our husband, that means that someone's right and someone's wrong. And at the end of the day, I really don't want my husband to be wrong. You know, I want us both to succeed. And so just, you know, there's boundaries within that. I'm not going to let him treat me horribly. But also saying, like, I see you and I hear you, and trying to take my emotional reactions out of it.
What has this done for you? And has your husband noticed?
I would say he's definitely noticed. I feel like there's been a shift in our relationship, specifically when I started pressing into this. And it doesn't come without community, right? Because it's not easy. It's not like every time I respond perfectly. I have a lot of amazing mentors that have guided me in this. And I'm sorry, what was the other question other than my husband?
Well, and yourself, what has it done for you?
Freedom. It's freedom. It's so much freedom because you don't have control over somebody else's emotions. Yeah. If you learn to be like, Lord, this is clearly not something within he and I, and then you just pray for the Lord to give you like eyes for him. So it's really just opened up my eyes to see my husband in different light.
Yeah,
and it's really taken a lot of the pressure off of me to fix it.
Amen. You're standing clearly in your own circle of control. You realize you can't get out beyond that without opposition and really pain for yourself and your marriage. You're standing clearly in what you have control over is your attitude, your response, and being obedient to what you understand Scripture to be teaching you about how to relate to your husband.
Amen. Yeah, I really do feel like this has been a good season for us. Like I said, we haven't always done it perfectly.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great people that have helped guide us along the way.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate your call from Michigan. What part of the state do you all live in there?
We're in Hazlet, Michigan.
Ah, great. Well, thank you for calling from the Hazlet area in beautiful Michigan, my home state. Appreciate your call, Lauren. Dr. Randy here. Intentional Living lines are busy. We got calls about, wow, that's interesting. We're going to find out from male perspective, from the wife's perspective, one thing that you're doing, what difference has it made? You just got some great counsel from Lauren. You can join us as well. 888-888-1717. Get busy, hit redial. We'll get to your calls. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back in about 60 seconds. Don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for your support. God bless you standing with us. We're reaching people together. Come join the journey. Be a part of this challenge of reaching people intentionally for Christ at theintentionallife.com. Or as Kurt just mentioned there, 888-888-1717 and press number 2. All right, let's get back to calls. Teresa in New Mexico, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Randy, how are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Tell me, what's one thing you've learned, you're learning, you're practicing your marriage to be more intentional?
Well, my husband and I will be celebrating 40 years of marriage in December.
Amen. Congratulations.
Yeah. And so the majority of those years, I'd say for the past 16 years, maybe 15, I was walking unequally yoked. And a couple of years ago, he accepted the Lord.
Amen.
At our son's funeral. So God is so good.
Wow. Sometimes it takes, sometimes it's these, these aha moments or these oh-no moments in life that really wake us up to the reality, doesn't it? So sorry for your loss.
It's okay. 2 weeks before my son passed, he said, Mom, don't worry. that's going to be in heaven.
Mm.
So I'm so grateful.
Amen.
But, with that, one of the things that I've had to learn is to not take things personally, you know, not to be so offended. You know, I have recently been in a faith-based 12-step program for codependency, for lots of things. But in that, I learned that most of my marriage, I responded to things as far as the things I experienced when I was young. And so in this process, I realized that my husband, too, responds to the things that he grew up with. And so, you know, I've had to stop and think, and not just in my marriage, but in a lot of my relationships, what this other person may be going through in their life that I am not privy to, that I don't know. My husband is, we're the opposites. They say opposites attract. I can't agree with that more. He's very quiet and reserved. And I wear my heart on my sleeve and talk too much. So I have had to just let him be who God created him to be. And he is a hardworking, loving, faithful husband. I've had to learn to articulate my feelings. And sometimes I went to a conflict resolution course at a conference at the beginning of the month. And the first thing the guy said was, it's not so much what we say, it's how we say it.
Yeah.
And literally I was with a friend and I kind of went like to a stabbing thing to my heart, you know, like, oh, he hit me there, because my husband has always said that.
He always
said, babe, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
And yeah. And that's a powerful thing, Teresa, because in any of our relationships, in fact, one of the major researchers in marriage, Teresa, is John Gottman, and he's been a professor, and he has a whole institute on marriage up in Washington State. He's probably one of the leaders in research. And one of the things he says is that if you want to have a successful marriage, you got to soften your startup, which means that when you start to talk about something in your marriage that's maybe an issue that's got to get out on the table, yeah, be careful. Don't be like a bull in a china shop when you have something you need to talk about. Soften it, start gently, be able to really connect heart to heart before you really bring out some of the issues that need to be discussed. But Teresa just gave you all a really important thing. Don't take everything so personal. It's easy to do. I look and ignore it. You know, we personalize it. One of the books that I had a chance to write, we started the book by making this statement: the little boy or little girl you once were, you still are. Down deep, there's a little Randy still inside of me. And Andrew, there's a little Andrew in you. And I bet there's a little Amy and Amy over there too, right? So we grew up, but still we carry some of those things from our childhood into how we live our lives as adults. So it's a good reminder. Thank you, Teresa. Let me go next over to Arizona. And it looks like Kuko, did I get your name correct there, my friend?
Yes.
Oh, okay, terrific. Go right ahead. What have you learned?
So I was, many years ago, my wife and I, we used to bump heads a lot. And I was always praying that God would change my wife. And when I should have been praying for God to change me.
Yeah.
And as I was saying earlier, I asked the Lord, you know, to change me. And through a small scripture in the Bible, it says, you know, men love your wives. And it spoke a lot to me, you know, just that simple scripture.
Right.
And I started loving my wife, no matter if she was mad or I was mad. I just chose to love my wife.
Amen. And what difference has it made?
Oh, big differences. I did not let the whole situation offend me. So it changed me being offended every time we get into a disagreement.
Yeah.
So it just spoke volumes to me, is just to love my wife.
Amen.
And that's what I've been doing since, is just to love her. You know, I mean, I think that's something we all need to understand is God is love. You know, God is complete and utter love, and he gives it to us freely. And that's, as brothers and sisters of this world, we just really need to emphasize on that.
Absolutely. And in fact, that passage you're talking about there in the book of Ephesians, where we're commanded as men to love our wives, just as Christ loved the church. If you back up just a verse or two from there, you see that Paul whacks us on the side of the head, guys, especially those of us who think our wives should be, you know, obedient to everything that we think she should be doing. Come on. I know in this generation, that's like, wow, what are you talking about? But, you know, even back in biblical times, Paul was saying to us, be submissive one to another, he says, out of obedience to Christ. The strongest marriages are the ones where you guys, come on, guys, we're smart enough to know and be submissive to our wife in the areas that she's better, faster, quicker, and smarter than we is. Come on. Are you shaking your head, Andrew? Are you with me? Okay, brother. And that's a smart thing to do in marriage. You want to be intentional, guys, in your marriage, is find that verse in the book of Ephesians 5, and you'll see that before it talks about this relationship between a man and woman in marriage, Paul lays out, hey, you want to have a good marriage, you want to have a strong relationship, be submissive one to another. It's a very powerful thing to do. Join me, 888-888-1717. What's your one thing for your marriage?
You've heard me teach on the radio and on this series from month to month that what we believe about intentional living is that it's learning to find and live your purpose every day. And I think we come face to face with the world's philosophy at this point. The world teaches there really is no purpose. There's really no ultimate purpose for marriage. There's no ultimate purpose for finance, no ultimate purpose for our lives, for our families. And that's part of the reason the world, I think, dumbs down all of these sacred things that God has created for our good. So we live in a world that really says there is no purpose, and yet we find in Scripture, and we're going to share some more Scripture here today, that very much reveals the fact that God does have a purpose. And I think if we can settle intentionally in our minds that God has a purpose for our lives, God has a reason for us being here, he has a mission for us to be on this planet, boy, that gives us a great deal of confidence and direction as we move forward.
You know, our featured intentional living lesson is on finding God's will, understanding his will for your life, and some questions you need to ask yourself as you're seeking his will. And it's up on our website. It's available to the whole planet today. And thousands are tuning in to hear it, join it, learn from it, hopefully being drawn to Christ as a result of it. And it's possible because of you. Your prayers and your support allow us to create the radio and the podcast and the books and everything that we do here. And so thank you. Come join the mission, the challenge of reaching people intentionally. Your monthly support makes a difference. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate or call 888-888-1717.
Just have a comment to make. Over 20 years ago, my wife and I separated, and I was in the middle of having an affair. And the whole time I was doing this, my wife kept telling me, God is going to put this back together. And I didn't want to hear it. We got back together. And God has bigger plans for us if we will just listen to him. He can make you love your spouse all over again. That love can be deeper, more sincere, more true than it's ever been if you will just allow God to perform his miracles in your marriage. You did make vows to God as well as to your wife whenever you got married. And so with that in mind, always remember that you're not just divorcing your spouse. There are other things involved. And so I just highly encourage everyone that is thinking about divorce. There is another way, and it's a better way, and it's called God's way.
Thank you, Bill. Man, that's great. Fantastic. Hey, listen, we're going to stay here in the studio, and we're going to go off the air live here in a couple minutes, but we're going to record a show continuing the same theme, One Thing for Your Marriage. I need your help. I want you to be a part of it, and we're going to air it on Monday. So give me a call. We'll get you lined up here, and we'll record this real soon. What's one thing you're doing in your marriage? 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. But we do have Joe from Michigan here live. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dr. Andy. How you doing?
Good, thank you. What's your one thing?
I have an awesome wife. Been married 28 years, and we have three kids, and we've been, had a really good life. But we'd always seem to run into these frustrating crossroads with communication. And I happened to listen to one of your shows, and it was with a couple, and they talked about talking positive to each other, and there was more to it than that, obviously. But I decided I was, when I talk to my wife, I'm going to be complimentary, I'm going to be positive, and bring that into our conversation. And that has really made a difference. And then when she brings a problem to me, my first instinct is, well, just do this, you know, fix it. And that always, you know, where that goes. It always is not received well. And I listened to what they had said in that previous show, and I just listened. And if there was an open door, I would say, well, it sounds like you're doing great. I think you're on the right track. That's awesome. You know, give it to God and keep going. And then if she was wrong, I'm like, well, just think about it and make sure you're not answering or acting with frustration, and try to do it, you know, in a positive manner. And since I've been going down this road, I haven't hit that roadblock in a long time.
Mm.
And I found our marriage is stronger. I found that our time together is more valuable.
Yeah, go ahead, finish up there, Joe. Oh, I think his call got dropped or something. But I think you got the essence of that one. Did you hear today the power of doing one thing? Listen, don't blow this off. Don't go on to the next thing. Stop for just 60 seconds as we go off the air and ask yourself, what one thing could I do in my little circle of control, all I have control over in my marriage, that would make the single biggest difference in my relationship with my spouse? Is it an attitude? Is it prayer? Is it loving them more? What is it? What's one thing that you know for your spouse to make the biggest difference? And then go do it for 30 days, and then you tell me at the end of 30 days that it doesn't work. Hey, come join me. I'd love to hear your story. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run for now. We'll see you again tomorrow.